So we started a series called Back to the Future, the first of this month, and have spent a few messages. Some of our messages have sort of been dictated, mandated by some of the things that have been happening in our community, some of the things that have been happening in our nation. They weren't necessarily planned as part of the series, but things began to unfold and things began to happen, and we wanted to be in the Word during all of that and applying and seeing how God could speak to us through these things. And today I'm going to wrap up this series because, well, we're back to the future. Sort of, kind of, maybe, just a little bit. The truth is, the future is a big question mark for many of us. And that's understandable. It's understandable. It's kind of crazy how things are literally changing daily. Schools are still deciding. I took a survey this week for the Newton County school system about proposed restart dates and what the 2020-2021 calendar might look like. And while I am looking over these dates, I'm reading all of them, continuing to say to myself, these are all subject to change. I don't know if school is really going to begin on that day. The future is a big question mark. Workplaces are still trying to figure it out. I was talking to someone from our church this week, and they said that their offices would not be opening until the new year, 2021. They already know they're not going to be going back into the office for the remainder of this year. The future can look kind of crazy, but in the midst of all of that, I've come with a really crazy message today. I've come to tell you that the future is secure. As big as that question mark is, as great as the uncertainty is, as strong as the doubt that is working in your mind and in your heart is today, I'm going to teach today, and I believe that God has given me a word to build and to bless us, that the future is secure. And if you responded with, huh? What? Are you serious? Then this message is for you. Because here's the point, we need to start thinking again. We need to start dreaming again. We need to start reaching again. We need to start striving and preparing again. Because let me tell you something, the devil absolutely loves our instability right now. He loves it. He is thriving on our instability. Not just you as an individual, but churches and communities and cities and a nation and a world. He is wreaking havoc, taking advantage of our instability. 1 Corinthians 14 and 33 is a verse I hold on to. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. I know the media loves chaos. I know there's people in our world that love disorder, but God is not a God of disorder. He is a God of order. He is a God of peace. And here's what I've learned. Instability in my life creates anxiety. Anxiety then causes me to feel exhaustion. And when I get exhausted, I become paralyzed. I want you to see that again. Instability creates anxiety. You may find yourself somewhere on the spectrum When you get anxiety, when you get anxious, when you get overwhelmed, it just exhausts you. You don't feel like doing anything. You just feel immobilized, and that is where paralysis comes in. Instability causes anxiety. Anxiety turns to exhaustion. Exhaustion becomes paralysis. The facts are in. Suicides are up the last 3.5 months. Domestic violence is at an all-time high in our communities. Alcohol sales are up. Everyone is trying to cope. All of the things that hurt us, all of the things that do damage to us, those things are at an all-time high, while church attendance and online views are down lower than ever. I see it among church leaders. I see it on our staff. I see it at Team Church. And I'm not judging. I'm not getting on to anyone. I want to encourage, and I want to bring focus today, and I want to build your confidence today that the future is secure. It's secure. But in order for you to grasp this today, I need to make sure you know which things to find security in. Because there's lots of insecurity right now. And the world wants to teach us that we need to focus on this or on that or on that way over there. And generally, it's things that I do not need to put my focus on. Get your mind off of God and get it on to politicians. Get your mind out of church and get it over here in this little small room we want you to live in. And I have to fight this. I have to push against this. I have to start looking for something beyond this. If you're quarantining, I dare you at some point today to at least get out on your front porch and smell the fresh air and look as far as you can down the road. Shield your eyes from bright sun and look as far out into the distance as you possibly can and see the future, see the tomorrows of your life. I feel God right now telling me to tell somebody who's discouraged, someone who is overcome by depression, someone who is struggling with addiction, that as bad as it is right now in your life, it will not always be this way. Circumstances have to change. Chains have to break. And there is spiritual victory and deliverance in the presence of the Lord. What I have to do is make sure that I'm in the presence of the Lord. And we've all learned that doesn't happen just at church. It can happen in your home. I've had church in my car. I've had church outdoors. I've had church all kinds of places. I can get in the presence of the Lord wherever I am. What I have to do is make sure that I'm in the presence of the Lord. Hebrews 12 and verse 25. Let me work just a little bit this morning. Hebrews 12, verse 25. The writer, believed to be Paul, says, "Be careful that you do not refuse." Strong word. "Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking." Oh, we listening to you, Pastor. I'm glad you're listening, but I want you to listen to what God is saying. My opinion, my thought on the matter really doesn't amount to a whole lot, but what is God saying in this season? Not the newscaster, not the internet blogger, not the person with a load of opinions and very little experience. What is God saying in this season? Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. "For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger," we really don't have time for a long history lesson today, but you remember the people of God enslaved and in bondage, and Moses comes with a message of deliverance, but no one believes what he is saying. And so the writer said, if they refuse to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, and he had a burning bush, and he had a staff that became a serpent, he had plagues at his disposal. If they would not listen to Moses, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. He said, if they wouldn't listen to a man, do you think they're going to listen to me? If he wouldn't listen to my man in the earth and my man that I empowered and strengthened supernaturally, do you think they are going to listen to me? When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens. I don't know if you see us in this word today, but it's not just the world that is shaking. With the threat of a virus spiking in states across our nation, it's not just the world that is shaking. The church is shaking also. I'll shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. That means that all of the creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. I want you to hear my heart today. I want you to hear me today online in this room. My heart is that everyone will make it through this. But I'm not certain that everyone will. I want everyone to come out with God in their life, but I'm not certain that everyone will. Why? Because things are being shaken. Since we are receiving, verse 28, a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe, with respect and awe. Verse 29, for our God is a devouring fire. The King James says, a consuming fire. Our God is a devouring fire, because when God sets a fire, he misses nothing. Misses nothing. When he sets a fire, everything burns. Does that mean that God sent COVID-19? I'm on record. I have been for weeks now that I do not believe that God sent this, but I do believe that he will get the glory from it. I don't believe that God hurts us. I don't believe that God pains us. And we could theologically get into all kinds of discussions, and happy to do that with you if you want, but I absolutely believe that he uses all things and causes all things to work for his good. So while the world is shaking right now, and while the church is shaking right now. Pastor Darrell, I thought you came to tell us that the future is secure. Are you worried about the church? Absolutely not. This is God's church, and God's church is going to win no matter how dark, no matter how foreboding, no matter how difficult, no matter how challenging. The church is going to survive. What I want is for you who make up the church to serve. Vive, because the enemy is working overtime to get us so distracted by viruses and pandemics and circumstances that we don't even realize we've become offended in our heart and angry in our heart. It's all so much chaos going on in the spirit that we don't even realize that the enemy is doing his best work in our minds. So my prayer is, Lord, get the glory out of me. Not the grumbling, not the grouchiness, not the goofy. Just get glory out of my life. So how do I learn? How do I know that the future is secure? I'm making sure a few things. It's a shift in perspective. It is an attitude adjustment. But how can we see and realize a secure future? I believe I'm speaking to every single person in this room and everyone watching online, because we all crave security. We all crave knowing that everything is going to be all right. But how do we realize a secure future? That means I'm not focusing on what I can't control. That's what everyone wants me to do right now, is focus on the things that I cannot control. I'm not focusing on those things. The only thing I can focus on are the things that are in my power to do. If you're spending your entire week focusing on things you cannot control, you're focusing on the wrong things. Let me shift my perspective. Let me shift my mind to focus on the things that I can control. Because often it is a shift from thinking one way to thinking another way. You say, but Pastor Darrell, I can't help what I think. Yes, you can. We talked about it last Sunday. Bringing our thoughts, making them obedient to Christ. You know how you make your kids mind? And then you have to tell them the same thing tomorrow that you told them today. And you're going to have to tell them the same thing next week that you told them five times this week. And then somewhere along the way you say, you know what? You're going to mind me. You're going to do what I say. That's the way I have to treat my mind that wants to get crazy and think all kinds of thoughts. Mind, we had this conversation yesterday. Let me adjust the rear view mirror so that I can see, look myself right in the eye. You right there, them blue eyes in the mirror, you are not going to win this battle. Get in that big mirror in your bathroom, point your finger at your face and say, you, ma'am, are not going to win this battle. I'm going to make every thought obedient to Christ. I'm going to focus on the things that God wants me to focus on. How do I do it? I'm going to give you five things today. If you want to type these in, write these down, grab a piece of paper online, you're going to want these because I believe that they are going to help you. Number one, if you want to secure your future, you have to move from assumed to appreciated. Move from assumed to appreciated. The pandemic has forced us. Maybe it still is trying to force us to appreciate things more, like toilet paper. How many assumed that whatever store you were going to was always going to have toilet paper? And then all of a sudden they didn't. Kristen went to the grocery store last night and she came home. She said, uh-oh, I'm not up on the news. What's going on? Is it happening again? The shelves are bare. I got to move from assumed to appreciated. Some things I just assumed would always be there. I just assumed I could go to church whenever I wanted to. I just assumed that whatever I wanted to do would always be available to me. So because things have changed, because store hours have changed and how we pick up food has changed, hopefully I'm becoming more grateful than I ever have been before. Pre-pandemic, Darrell could not stand takeout food. Just my weird thing. I don't like it. But you get hungry in a pandemic. Now I got four or five places. Like, sure, I'll go pick up food there. They're great. It's awesome. What happened? I've learned to appreciate what I assumed before. You have to move from assumed to appreciate. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What are you so puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you have accomplished something on your own? Everything we have is from God. Everything that we have is from God. So in the future, How I want to secure my future is to develop an attitude of gratitude, to be thankful more than I ever have been before. Number two, there's five of them on the second one. You say, this is very, very simple. You can't imagine how simple this is. Number two, move from self-sufficient to God-dependent. If I'm going to secure my future, I have to move from self-sufficient to God-dependent. Because there is nothing like a global shutdown to make you realize you are not in control. Not in control. Somebody else, other people, something bigger than all of us is in control. And my future becomes much more secure when I make Jesus Lord of my life. Just start naming the big things that we had our security in before this. Was it the stock market? Well, we saw that plummet to very concerning numbers, and now it's tried to find its way again. But guess what? We could wake up tomorrow morning and it could crash, it could fall, it could plummet. Anything could happen. So if my confidence, if my security is in whatever I have in the stock market, I really have no security at all, because this pandemic has forced me to realize that I'm not self-sufficient. I have to be God-dependent. I have to put my faith, I have to put my trust, I have to put my dependence upon Him. And oh, my future is so much better when I establish Him as Lord of my life. Some of you are throwing your hands up right now saying, I don't even know what that means. That's because He is not Lord of your life. Some of you have bitten your nails until there are none left. Why? Because you've not made Him Lord of your life. I've come to preach to someone on Sunday morning that if you will put God first in your life, heaven and earth may pass away, but His word in your life will stand forever. Is anybody glad for the day that you said yes to Jesus, and you know that's where your security is found? That's why the future is secure, because I know who Jesus is. And for too many, this season has been harder for you because you're not at peace spiritually. And that can change today. If you're in this room and you're not at peace spiritually, that can change today. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. I don't belong to me. So in the future, in order to get it secure, I have to dedicate every part of my life to God. Not just the Sunday part, not just the spiritual part, but dedicate every part of my life to God. Number three, if I want to see a secure future, I have to move from scattered to gathered. I have to move from scattered to gathered. I don't know what life looked like pre-pandemic for you, but our family was scattered. Everybody running a different direction. Everyone chasing a different goal, dream, idea of what a good day looks like. Running here, rarely sitting down at the same table, everybody busy doing great things. But now, after 3.5 months, we're cooking together. We're enjoying family dinners more than ever. Maybe you're in a season of forced rest, or maybe it's forced quiet time or forced focus. now that you've seen how good that can be, the positives of a pandemic, now what if you and I allow that to become the new routines and the new disciplines of our lives? And we move from scattered to gathered. As a church, it's allowed us to become very focused on what really matters. We were already on this track and already trying to do this thing and narrow down what it is we do as a church so that we can focus on a few things and be good, successful, able at a few things and not try to be so scattered that we have just a little bit of energy toward a lot of things, but focus on a few things. And we've seen that paying off with a church growing and good things happening and the blessing of the Lord over our lives. And so I say to us in person, I say to the Church Covington online, let's gather. Whether you're in person or online, wherever we are, this is still a great time to be on the phone. This is still a wonderful time to be checking in with people, to be connecting with people, to get online and say, hey, how does that Zoom thing work where we can see one another? How does this FaceTime thing work? I don't want to be scattered. I don't want to be living out there lonely and wondering what's going to happen. I want to be secure in my future. I love Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let me read a few verses beginning at verse 8. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. He's saying, look, I've lived alone just building business and amassing wealth, and now I survey my wealth and it means nothing to me. It's a miserable business. But verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I don't want to be by myself in this season. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be scattered in this season. I want to be gathered. So what does a secure future look like? That means I need to determine to keep important relationships a priority. The relationships that matter in my life, the relationships that are important in my life, I have to keep them a priority. Let me move quickly to number 4. This is important because if I want to secure my future, I have to move from going through life to growing through life. If I want to secure my future, I have to move from going through life to growing through life. This is huge. This is huge to you and I securing our future. And we say this often across many messages and in many different ways. We say some version of this statement. Sometimes it comes out as I choose to manage my life rather than my life managing me. I choose to determine how my day is going to go instead of waiting to see what my day is going to do to me. Taking control back of my life, which means I have to engage in disciplines and right routines and right practices and best habits because I want to grow through life instead of going through life. I'm teaching to people in the room online right now that you feel like you're just going through life. You woke up today and felt all right, so you came to church or you joined online. You don't know about tomorrow. We'll just see whatever happens, happens. And I appreciate the nonchalant. I appreciate the take no thought for tomorrow. I appreciate not worrying about things that you really don't know. But what are you choosing? What are you deciding about your day tomorrow? Because I am going to wake up with purpose. There may be things that happen that I cannot control. There may be things that happen that I have no power over. But if I wake up committed to my purpose, and then when I lay down, I ask myself, what did I learn today? What happened in my life that I can take lessons from and gain wisdom from? What did I learn today? If I wake up with purpose and I go to bed asking, what did I learn? You're going to look back over your shoulder and realize, you know what? I put together a pretty good life. And things are working the way that God wants them to work, because I'm not just going through life, I am growing through life. Don't get so bored in your own life that you're miserable in your own life. Can I ask you very plainly today, how could you have breath in your body and be bored? You're alive. You're healthy. You may have some bumps and bruises and maybe banged up, maybe dealing with some this or that in your life, but why are you just living and waiting to die? No. 1,000 times no. Don't just go through life. Grow through life. Well, I wish I'd have heard this message 40 years ago. I might would have changed some things. It's not too late. If you still have breath in your body, you can grow instead of just go. I'm teaching good today. Ephesians 4. I love this in the message, but you got to buckle your seatbelt for what Paul is saying in this message translation. Chapter 4, verse 14. No prolonged infancies among us, please. It's a real nice way of saying stop being a baby. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods. Small children are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Grow through life. Spiritually mature through life. Add to your patience. Add to your understanding. Build and build and build until you build the kind of life that you want. Well, as soon as this pandemic is over, I'll get started. No, no, no. Get started today. Choose today. Make the decision today. Well, as soon as that other person in my life decides what they're going to do, then I will know what I am going to do. If that's what it's come down to, you need to make some hard decisions. Because if you're waiting on someone else, who chances are you've been waiting on a long, 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 long time, they have become your excuse for not doing anything. This is too tight. If I'm going to secure my future, I have to discover the reason why God created me. Why did He create me? And then number five, if we're going to secure our future, if we're going to see things happen in a powerful way, then we have to move from do church to be the church. If we're going to secure our future, then we move from just doing church to being the church. Because remember, it's not just the world that's shaking right now. He said he was shaking the earth and the heavens. The church is shaking too. I've never seen such an attack on the church. I read an article this morning. I told our huddle today, no intention of bringing that here, but I read an article just this morning about Arkansas publication, and it was an article that listed 40 churches that have an outbreak of COVID-19. That was the headline. When I start reading the article, it essentially says they have no idea if the people ranging from 2 cases to 11 cases got the virus at church or not. They just know the people had been to church. No question about whether or not the people had been to restaurants, the reopened malls, Walmart, the club, the streets. They just knew they'd been to church. And so church is bad. An article on Sunday morning while people are getting ready for church. Headline, church is bad. Listen, I am in favor. Our people are socially distanced in the room. We got hand sanitizer. We scared to breathe from 10 to 11:15 on Sunday morning. I've not shaken anybody's hand in so long, hugged anybody's neck in so long. I miss y'all. We're doing everything we possibly can. But if you think that all of this is not spiritual, you're saying the virus is not real. No. I'm not saying that at all. It is real. But if you don't believe that the enemy is using all of this to do a number on God's church in the earth, you better wake up. Better wake up. I had friends last night, pastor friends from around the country, texting. They were having to make decisions. Some of them as late as 8 o'clock last night to choose to go back online. We were talking and strategizing and what I could do to help and encourage. They said, what are you going to do? They say, George, is spiking, you're going to close. And I said, I don't have to make that decision tonight. But if at all possible, I want the doors of the church to be open. We want to be safe. We want to be cautious. We want to be careful. We want to be wise. But I want to worship God. And no, I'm not saying the only place to worship God is in the building. But listen to me. If we're gonna be the church and not just do church, then churches are finding out what they're made of in this season. And I'm so proud of ours. I am. I'm so thankful for the church Covington. But we have to fight against the tide trying to push us into selfishness or into corners. We've got to ask ourselves, who can we love? Who can we feed? Who can we help? Who can we bless? Because we are not a showcase or performance church. We're just not. This is an experience. Online only does not work for us long term. So thankful we've had it in this season. Online is not going away. It's here to stay. But if you really want to experience the church, Covington, you got to get in this house. Feel what is happening in this room. Ephesians 2:10. I'm closing. God creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. So what does a secure future look like? It's you and I demonstrating the love of God to the world around us. You and I demonstrating the love of God to the world around us. I've risen to tell you today that the future is secure. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You and I are conditional. That means we have to do the right things to secure the future that we want. And I know stuff is shaking, but I'm in a secure place. What about you? What about you watching? What about you in this room? Are you in a secure place? And if you're not, if you're watching online today or a replay later this week, if you're in this room and you would say, you know what, Pastor Darrell, I don't feel secure in my soul. I'd love to pray with you today. I'd love to believe God with you today. I'd love to help you say yes to Jesus today and leave here or log off from here feeling secure about your future. Father, I pray for people in this room today. I pray for people watching online today. People that feel uncertainty and the question mark is looming so large in their life. Any idea of security seems like a fleeting thought. But today, Lord, even when I cannot be secure in stock markets or know which politician is telling me the truth or where to get unbiased news, when I don't have security in anything, I go back to the one that I know will never leave nor forsake me. And that if I put my faith in you, this earth will ultimately fade away, but eternity with you will be forever and incredible. So today, Lord, if I'm watching or if I'm in this room and I'm not secure in my soul, I ask you today, Lord, to forgive me of my sin, to clean my heart, to change my life, to redirect my steps, to be the lamp to my feet and the light to my path, so that I know where to go, what to do, what choices, what decisions. I thank you, Lord, for helping me today. I want to be saved. I want to be healed. I want to be secure in you. So today I say yes, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Can we just thank God for people praying that prayer today in this room and online? God bless you.